the Lord. Father, we are thankful to know that you are the miracle working God. Lord, do your miracle in us. Turn our circumstances around. May we receive that grace of your declared, decreed word that says, O God, that this is our time, our year of restoration and restructuring. Restructuring because, Lord, you have bigger things on your mind for us. Lord God, who enlarges, elevates, do with your people great and mighty things that cannot be explained. In Jesus' mighty name, we call it so done. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes. And amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We've been having an extraordinary week in the presence of our Father. Oh, that we have been blessed with so many of his chosen vessels. It is a joy to be counted as one in the family of God. And tonight, I just want to thank God for his grace. I want to thank God for the things that he has on his mind for us. He says it's things that are beyond our comprehension. This morning I woke up with a very specific word spoken into my spirit. It just kept on rolling. I said, wow, I like this word, but let me go check it out in the dictionary to just make sure of what this word means. I am not okayed to pronounce that word. Because the Lord wants it to still settle inside of me. But someday, I will speak that word to your hearing. It's a word that you know. It's not a fantastic word. But nonetheless, God was saying something through that word. You know, when I started speaking to us on the, I believe it was on the 8th, that was last Sunday, I started sharing with us about some of the things that God was going to do as it relates to restoration. And we talked about restoration of family. We talked about the restoration of status. We talked about restoration of finances. We talked about restoration of property. And on the night I told you that one of the emphases of God, when you look at the Word of God, when he talks about restoration, he places a lot of emphasis on property. Because as I see in the Word of God, he keeps on talking about stolen property and how it should be restored. I don't know what needs to be restored in your life. I don't even know what needs to be restored in my life, because there are times when things are taken from you that you are unaware of. I mean, if you understand that, you didn't know it belonged to you and somebody took it. But God, who sees all things and knows all things, knows what needs to be restored. And by the word of decree, not a decree against God, but by the word of decree, that the word of God and the promises of God that he has already pronounced, that have been held back or resisted or restrained or hidden or stolen, I declare that the decree of God's word will shatter every stronghold of the enemy and bring to you and to me and to the body of Christ that which God has already proclaimed. I receive it in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God has declared, and there must be a manifestation. Tomorrow when you wake up and you go out, you will see the sun. But the sunlight that you see in now has been, it has been traveling towards you. If you go out tonight and you see the stars, that light that you see in didn't just happen right now. It has been traveling. So we say by the authority of the word of God that whatever God has released in this time of speedification, that God will speedify and bring to us that which he has already spoken, because the time is short. And I need to grow up fast. I need to grow up fast and have the spiritual muscles to handle what God has already released. Somebody shout hallelujah. Because child of God, we've got a short time. When the Lord spoke to me a few days ago and said to me that 2023 was a year, a pathway year, a door year, an entry year, I pondered about it. What is he saying? Then I heard behind that word, it's a preparatory year. I'm saying, God, are you preparing us for something? We're here to receive. We're not here to get prepared. You know, it says, son, you have no clue on what I have in store for you. Do you remember the word of the Lord a few weeks or months, or about a month or so ago, about the accrual presence of God? I came to you and I said, God spoke to me and said, accrual presence. I said, Lord, I've never heard this word before, accrual presence. What is this? Accrual, that's an accounting word. And began to unfold to me that what he has in store, no man, say it with me, no man. That means ever. No man has seen it. It's not even coming to our hearts. The things that God has prepared, we have no clue. The devil has no clue. No creation has any clue about what God has on his mind and what God is about to unveil in the earth. We have no idea. I don't. No prophet has ever prophesied it, because God has kept it close to his chest. And when it bursts forth, like they said, when manna came down, they will say, what is this? What is this? We've never seen this before. What is this? Because there's an invasion. An invasion of demonic activity that we've never experienced. But at the same time, the God who sees all things, knows all things, is going to unveil through ordinary people. Someone say ordinary people. Great and mighty things. Somebody shout hallelujah. You know, when God wants to do big things, he uses ordinary things to do it. His first miracle, which was the destruction of lack, was the turning of ordinary water put in ordinary pots to produce new wine. Nobody had seen anything like that before. You'll expect a plant, a vine, and the work of crushing the vine and taking the blood of that grape and making the wine. God says, oh, we're not doing that. We're going to do it another way. What way? The way I did it before. What way did you do it before? I spoke to water. And birds came out of it. Cattle came out of it. Land came out of it. Whatever was created and was hidden, I restored. God is doing the same thing. I have not a moment to worry about what God can do, because he can do whatever he wants to do, and he does it by the spoken word. That's why this next week, starting tomorrow, we are going to be still, and we're going to know by the hearing of God's word that God is who he is, God. Somebody shout hallelujah. All of that was not my message. The Holy Spirit is doing something. I pray that you and I are ready. I pray that I'm ready. That we as saints are ready. There was a young lady called Mary every Sabbath. I'm sure she went to the synagogue. And there were other times that she would sit at the feet of the teaching of the rabbis as they expounded in the word of God. They looked outside and they saw the Roman soldiers marching all over the place. They might hear whistling through the air, the flagra, the whip, going at a Jewish young man, or somebody screaming, somebody being dragged somewhere. And the rabbis will teach and say, one of these days, the Messiah is going to come. One of these days. One of these days, one of these days, one of these days, one of these days. And every day they heard about one of these days. And they heard about a virgin that was going to have this child. And I'm sure that Mary did not count herself as one of the possibilities. It couldn't possibly be me. It might look at somebody else. It's got to be her. It's got to be her. She's really nice. But God had on his mind who he had on his mind. Maybe somebody else may not have chosen her, but God chose her. You see, in this move of God that is about to be released in the earth, you may not count yourself in as a possibility. Just like Gideon did not count himself as one capable of doing anything. But God knew who he wanted to use. There he was hiding. When he heard about thou great, mighty man of valor, I'm sure he spun around in that little cave. Look, is there somebody else here? No, we're talking about you. I don't think so. It is not possible. I'm the least in my father's family. Come on. And we, not only am I the least there, our family is the least. We're the least of the least. You think you're going to use us? God says, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. When he picked up his disciples, picked people that had nothing, fishermen. In fact, he picks one that's been fishing all night, caught nothing, distraught, busy washing his net. He goes and steps into his boat, uses his boat, invites him to cast his nets. The man thinks, I've been fishing all night. Well, come on. Nothing's going to happen. So let me just throw one net. Throws one net. But he didn't know he was dealing with the God who made fish come out of water. And every wet thread in that net became fish. I don't think new fish, those old fish that came, no, he turned water into fish. He is a God of restoration. I don't know how he's going to do what he's going to do, but I know that he has all capacity and capability to do what he's going to do, and all we're going to do is have our jaws drop and say, huh? What just happened? What just happened? In the north end? Come on! Where? What city? What town was that? Because God is not limited to our geographical mindset. He does what he wants to do. He wants to bring his message out. And he takes a man called John the Baptist and puts him in the wilderness. Not in the city where everything is happening, in the wilderness, and everybody goes to the wilderness to go find him there. Come on. What kind of God is this? He's a God that does not fit into your little box. And when God talks about restoration, he's not talking about what our minds can contain. He's talking about something that is beyond our comprehension. Bible tells us in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9. The word of God tells us about the experience of a young man and his father. 1 Samuel 9. It says, now there was a man of Benjamin, That's a very interesting name. Benjamin means son of my right hand. The mother gave birth to him and died, Rachel. And the mother gave him a very terrible name. But his father jumps into the case and changes that name. And I find that that is a very interesting point to start out in this particular chapter. And that God will choose a man of Benjamin. Time does not permit me to explore the thought to full extent, but I'll go past that for a moment. He says, whose name was Kish. Kish means to be bent. The son of Abiel. Abiel is God is my father. So here is a bent man, but God is a father. Just like us, bent in our iniquities and in our sins, but God is our father. There was a connection point there. The son of Zerah. Zerah, that word means a bundle, a bag. The son of Bechorath. Bechorath, that's a very interesting word, and it means the firstborn. Firstborn. Now, this is interesting. Just a sidestep somewhere. Because Benjamin is the second son of Rachel. Joseph is the first son. Remember that? And because of the mess up of Abraham, the blessing that comes to the firstborn had shifted to secondborns. And so when you look through the history of the Word of God, the secondborn was taking the blessing to the extent that when Jacob was going to bless the sons of Joseph, he crosses his hand and puts his right hand on Ephraim instead of Manasseh. Remember that? And when you follow the story, you find that the second born in the belly of a dear woman of God who had two children and one brought his hand out, took it back, the second born came out first and received the blessing. All because of lines of iniquity. And I find it very interesting in the Word of God that in a time when God wants to turn things around, that he shows us that a man called Bechorath, which means firstborn, is in the family of the secondborn. Now, God had worked steadily to make sure that the firstborn gets his rights. That's why Joseph. Because Joseph was number 11, but he was meant to be number 1. Are you with me? All right. And this one is the son of Aphia. Aphia means I will make him to breathe. I'll give life to him. But it was a Benjamite, a mighty man of power. And he had a son whose name was Saul. Saul means desired. A choice young man, a goodly. And there was not among the children of Israel a goodlier man. A goodlier person than he, from his shoulders upward, he was higher than any of the people. From his what? Shoulders upward. That's interesting. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's interesting. Yes, it means that he was taller than everybody else. But when you think about the shoulder, you know, the word of God could have just simply said he was taller. I find it interesting when the word of God uses statements and I say, there could have been another word. I think about it for a moment. Who is and what is above the shoulder upwards? The head. Who is the head? Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. Don't lose the message, the point. Jesus is greatest. He's the awesome one. Amen? Hallelujah. It says, and the asses of Kish, Saul's father, was lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee and arise and go seek the asses. Verse 4. And he passed through Mount Ephraim. I know I'm spending much time defining statements. I want it to settle deep into your spirit. Have an understanding. Ephraim means double fruitfulness. But it also means a heap of ashes. That tells me something. That whatever it is that is happening here, God is giving you an opportunity to decide whether we have a heap of ashes or have double fruitfulness. Praise the Lord. What are you going to do with your year? Do you want double fruitfulness or do you want ashes? Okay. Well, there's something interesting about ashes. Ashes comes from something that has been burnt up, consumed. But farmers also use ashes to bring about restoration. And basically what God is saying to us, listen, no matter where you find yourself, you can still make it. You can still be effective and end up becoming double. Oh, I don't know if you're getting me. God is gathering his people to a place of wholesomeness. Hallelujah. He says he passed through Mount Ephraim and passed through the land of Shalisha, which means a third. And then he says, but they found them not. Then they passed through the land of Shalim. Shalim. The word Shalim, don't confuse it with the word Shalom. In this case, it means this particular Hebrew word is the word for foxes. Foxes. Because foxes try to destroy. Every time God gives you a promise, there are always foxes that want to destroy. But you and I are going to destroy every fox spirit, every spirit of deception, because this is a spirit of deception. This is a spirit of mental craziness. We use the word crazy like a fox. I declare that your mind, my mind, our mind collectively, be clear of all kinds of confusion so that we can come into the place of wholeness that God has ordained by the word of truth. Somebody shout hallelujah. He says, and they were not there. And he passed through the land of the Benjamites, but they found them not. When they came to the land of Zuf, the word Zuf is a word for honeycomb. You know something sweet is going to be there. Hallelujah. They came to the land of Zuf, and Saul said to his servant that was with him, come, let us go back. That's strange. You've come to the land of Zuf. You've come to the land of sweetness. And then you say, let's go back. You will not go back. I said you will not go back from the sweetness that God has ordained for you. Too many people come to the place of sweetness and they turn back. They don't penetrate and go through. How do you go through? Ask me. Okay, since you ask, I will answer you. They come there to Zuf. Saul says, let's go back. We don't want our father worrying about us. We're more important than these asses. And let's go back. But he had a good support. The servant that followed him says to him, verse 6, watch this. He says, and he said unto him, behold, now there is in this city a man of God. There is in this what? City, a man of God. And he is an honorable man. All that he said shall surely come to pass. Now let us go thither, peradventure he can show us a way that we should go. We've come here. Remember what we talked about? He just came through the land of foxes, right? So there's a level of craziness here. He's saying, let's go back. Then he's saying, there's a man of God here. Let's go if he will. Let's go ask him. Maybe he can show us the way that we should go, the way that you should go. You know your way back. So what is this way that we should go? It's about the searching, continuing to search for the lost. Are you with me? This is a place of wishy-washiness. You want to go back, but you want to continue. Why does he want to continue? Ask me that question. Because he still wants to be about his father's business. Hello? You will continue if your heart is focused on the father's business. The Lord Jesus Christ is at the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's placed in this situation. And he's saying, Father, take this cup from me. Oh, then he says, but not my will. Not my will, your will. One way, he wants to bail. But no, I've got to be about my father's business. Causes him to have the second. Thank you. Shout it out loud. The second what? Wind. Yeah, that was the message from last night. The second wind. I pray by the authority of the word of God that your desire, your heartbeat for God and his will to be made manifest, that it will cause you to experience this second wind that causes you to break forth past your doubts. Everybody has doubt sometime. Everybody gets fed up sometime. Everybody wants to quit sometime. But when you have the heart of the Father and you are about your Father's business, you break through it. Then said Saul to his servant, but behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of God. What have we? We've spent what we have. And the servant says, not really. What do you mean, not really? Say, I have a stash here. Let's give him what I've got. And that'll be for both of us. Praise the Lord. There are times when you've spent what you've got. But I pray that God will bring you people that will stand with you when you've spent all and say, no, that's not the end of the story. Here's something. Let's do something with this. Ah, I said, wow. Okay. We've got something that we will give to the man of God so that he can tell us our way. You know the exciting thing that we've lost? There are two things that will get the man of God to be able to bring a prophetic declaration into your life. Two things. One is praise and worship to God, as Elijah will do with asking for the minstrel to come play. On with my now I have to learn how to use this effectively. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So they take an offering. That's the second thing. An offering gets God to speak quick. Let me go past that. So they come. The Bible says in verse 9, it says, before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, does he speak, come, let us go see the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Then said Saul to his servant, well said, come, let's go. So they went into the city where the man of God was. 11. And as they went up to the hill of the city, and as they went what? Up. This conference is called what? Come up higher. Right this very moment, by the graces of God, may you and I come up higher. Hallelujah. It's a good thing to go up higher. I said something to you last night, that the reason those long-distance runners from East Africa, from Kenya, and Tanzania, especially, those two nations, why they win most marathons and long-distance races is because they've trained in the higher levels. It is hard to breathe up at those levels. I remember going to Guatemala many years ago, about, I guess, 7-8 years back. And we're in this hotel. And I was going up the stairs. And it was like, oh my God, I'm going to die. The reason was the altitude. It was so difficult to go up those stairs because of the height. Are you with me? But the fact is, when you train in that particular realm, all of a sudden, your body begins to acclimatize itself. Things begin to happen in there.
so that when you come to the lower levels, you outrun everybody. That's exactly because you have come up higher, and because God has brought you and I through difficult experiences, that now you're going to be moving at a pace that is so much faster, with less energy exerted, in the name of Jesus. Let this year be the month of ease. This is going to be my best year ever until 24. Hallelujah. And until 25. But 24 is, or 23 is going to be an extraordinary year, because in 22, God took me through difficult places just to take me higher. Anybody went through difficult experiences in 22? Okay. Expect 2023 to be ease on down the road. Hallelujah. God has been working a work in you. Amen. They went up the hill. It says, and they found young maidens going out to draw water. I love that. Because anytime I see water, I know something is about to happen. And said unto them, is the seer here? And they answered and said, he is. Behold, he's before you. Make haste now, for he came when? Today, to the city. Saul, how did you know that Samuel is going to be there? Because we just heard just a moment ago, there is a prophet in this city. Servant, how did you guys come to that conclusion? Because God leads us by his Spirit. You may not know why you're thinking a thought, but God is in it. Somebody shout hallelujah. So they said, he's in the city, for there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. Oh. Why am I talking to you about this anyway? Yes, because the Lord said to talk about this particular passage tonight. But why? Is this whole story going on? Oh, because there were some lost sheep or lost asses. Really? Is that why? No. The asses were not lost. God had a plan. It was a setup. Somebody shout hallelujah. It was all a setup. Anyway, let me move fast because I need to wrap this up quickly. It says in verse 14, and they went up into the city, and when they were come into the city, behold, Samuel came out against them for to go to the high place. So they're coming out or going in, and Samuel is coming out. Someone say now. Say this whole sentence with me. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came A day before Saul came, God already told Samuel, Saul is coming. Saul didn't know why he was coming, but God knew why Saul was coming. Somebody shout hallelujah. You don't know why you are here tonight, maybe. But God knew you were coming, and God knows what he wants to do in your life. And this is what he said, saying, tomorrow about this time, I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry is come unto me. 17. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, behold, the man whom I speak to thee of, this same shall reign over my people. Saul left home thinking he was looking for lost asses. But God sent him from his home because God wanted to anoint him. Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is. He's talking to the seer and he's asking him, tell me where the seer is. See, you might not know who the seer is, but the seer knows who you are. You might not know what God has in store, but God knows what he has in store for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And Samuel says, I am he. I am the seer. Go before me into the high place. Go up with me. For you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go. I will tell thee all that is in thine heart. I will tell thee all what? Say it again. I will tell thee all that is in thine heart. You mean that in the heart of Saul, without him knowing it, that there was the calling to be a king? Rise with me. Touch your chest and declare with me. Father, you know what you invested in me before the foundations of the earth. You know what my assignment is. You know what my calling is. You know what you have mandated me to do. Lord God Almighty, tonight, in that glorious mighty name of Jesus, reveal it. Let it be released and let it be made manifest by the decree of your word. Father, do it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Sit down. He says, come up with me. I'm going to tell you what's in your heart. And so that you know, he said, tomorrow I'm going to tell you. Is that what he said? Tomorrow I'm going to tell you. So that you know that what is in his heart was not the asses. He says, and as for thine asses. That were lost 3 days ago, set not thy mind on them. For they are found, and on whom is all the desire of Israel? On whom is all the desire of Israel? Saul's name is Desire. On whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not in? Is it not on thee and on thy father's house? Everybody's desire is on you. And the young man says, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? You're supposed to be a prophet, right? A seer. Am I not a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me? What are you talking about? Everybody, you mean the asses that are lost, that's not lost. I'm the one that is lost. Yes, you, because you don't know what your destiny is. But the God who knows your destiny is going to fix that. Hallelujah. He says, and Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them unto the parlor and made them sit on the chiefest place. Hallelujah. Made them sit on the chiefest place among them that were bidden. There are many people bidden, many people invited, 30 persons in particular, you know, that were going to sit. But Samuel takes Saul, who just said, I'm a nobody, and puts him in the chiefest, in the highest seat. Just like God is going to take me and put me in the chiefest seat. Just like God is going to take you and put you in the chiefest seat, in the seat that he has ordained for you. Because when you come to your place of destiny, your assigned place, nobody can be like you. Nobody. Hallelujah. Those of you that are listening online, please receive this word. Don't get distracted because you're at home. A repositioning. He's put in the chiefest seat because that is a forerunner of the grace that's in him already. When God has a place of high importance for you, he begins to connect you with people of high level living. When you see the people that God is connecting you with, it is telling the story of what assignment, what kind of assignment he has for you. You don't have to fight for it. God, some say God, knows you already and has already planned a set up place for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And Samuel, watch this, I love this. And Samuel said unto the cook, bring the portion which I gave thee, of which I said unto thee, set it by thee. So Samuel had already prepared a particular chunk of meat and set it aside. I told the cook, set this aside. It's for somebody. Hallelujah. I say in the name of Jesus, let that which belongs to you be set aside so that when you come, it is already available. Praise the Lord. It says, and the cook took up the shoulder. Somebody say, took up the what? The shoulder. And that which was upon it, and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, behold that which is left. This was set apart, and this is what is left. This which is left is not a leftover. Come. This which is left was not a leftover. This is the part that was separated already before anybody ate anything else. Did you hear that in the spirit? Whatever God does in your life is not something that he does as an afterthought. This is a forethought. And now it has been presented. And so the Bible says, and so Saul did eat with Samuel that day. And when they were come from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. This is high level dealings now. Praise the Lord. Now, watch this. Watch this. And they arose early. And the Bible says, and it came to pass, and this is very important. I want you to listen attentively, because now I'm going to do the quick dive to wrap up. I'm going to pray with you. And I do hope that the confessions I've been asking you to make, that you've not been casual with it, because those are declarations. Amen? He says, it came to pass about the spring of the day. The what? Spring. Now, when you talk about spring, what are we talking about? Spring talks about something that is being birthed. But spring is about rising. When you squeeze a spring, you empower it to be propelled. Yes? Are you ready for this word? Are you sure? You sure? Okay. All the squeezing that you have experienced was meant to give you a spring and a springing and a propelling in this new day. Don't be that hose that is sitting on the tap. Be engaged. God doesn't just use words just to use words. And they arose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day. the beginning, the sprouting forth, the propulsion of the day. For the day will speak. Day after day speaks. That's why God says, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will deal with itself. Because I have assigned a word for every day, and every day is going to speak well for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It says that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, up that I may send thee away. Up. I might send thee away. And Saul arose, and they went out, both of them, he and Samuel, abroad. Someone say abroad. Yeah, that means they went outside. But abroad means into a wider space. Hallelujah. For immigrants, abroad means going over the seas. Hallelujah. It means going into another land, another space. This is what God is doing in your life already. You are being brought into a new sphere of experience in God. Do you receive that word? And verse 27 says, and as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before us. The Lord wanted me to stop here. And the reason he wanted me to stop here, he said to me, son, servants are going to go ahead. Kings are going to stay with the prophet. Because there are certain things the servants don't need to hear. There are going to be some people that are going to, as you step into this new year, you're going to see some people that seemingly are ahead of you. Don't worry about it. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't worry about it. They cannot handle what God has for you. So the servant goes ahead, and Samuel says to him, but you stand thou still a while. Just calm down. And I'm going to show thee the word of God. I'm going to show you what? The word of God. He said, I'm going to reveal to you what's inside of you. Now he says, I'm going to reveal to you the what? Word of God. So my destiny, that which God invested in me, is based on a word that God has put inside of me. And now God is going to unveil that word. And I will become that word that he unveils. Did you hear it? Did you hear it? What God has for you is already inside of you. And this year, you're going to open up, because the word of God is going to be shown to you. And you're going to see yourself. Your real, authentic self. Are you receiving it? So he begins to tell him in chapter 10 and verse 1. Oil is taken. poured upon his head. He is kissed. And then he says, is it not because the Lord hath anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance? To be captain over what belongs to him? 2, when thou depart from me today, you're going to find 2 men by Rachel's sepulcher. Who's Rachel? That's great, 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 great grandmother. The mother of Benjamin. So I'm going to take you back and you're going to go past the place where your mother died. From out of that death, there is a birthing of something new. And you're going to come by this place close to Zelzah. He says, and they will say unto thee, the asses which were lost have been found. Don't worry about it. Your father is worrying about you now. Goes on and he says, and thou should go forward. So first sharing is what you lost has been found. That's restoration. Hallelujah. But God doesn't stop with that restoration. Remember what I said to you before, and I believe was restated. When God restores, it is not back to the original level. Amen? It's always better. Hallelujah. Remember I told you on Tuesday, Monday, I told you about the old Volvo that Mama and I saw on the street. I said, if somebody stole that, I don't want that back. I want a brand new one. Yes? Remember that? Okay. God betters. So, he says you're going to hear that it's been taken care of. But then he says, then shalt thou go on what? Forward. Somebody say forward. You're going to go past this place into a greater dimension. You're going to come to the plain of Tabor. Mount Tabor is the mountain of transfiguration. Hello? The real Mount of Transfiguration is the Mount of Tabor, where Jesus revealed who he really was. Because he said to his disciples, come up. And he took them up higher unto a mountain. And when they got to the top of that mountain, he unveiled himself, because 2 guys showed up, Moses and Elijah. Are you with me? So he says, you're going to come by Mount Tabor, and there you're going to meet 3 guys who are going up to God, to Bethel. They're going up. You're coming up to this mountain, and you're going to meet people who are going up to Bethel. One carrying 3 kids, another carrying 3 loaves of bread, another carrying a bottle of wine. I don't want to spend time here, because I'm just going to be, it's too much, it's too rich. But they're going to give you, one of those guys is going to give you 2 loaves of bread. Those 2 loaves of bread are representative of the old and the new. Hallelujah. They're going to give you 2 loaves, which thou shalt receive of their hands. After that, thou shalt come to the hill of God. Someone say the hill of God. Where the garrison of the Philistines. What are the Philistines, the enemies of God, doing in the hill of God? Because they want to prevent you from getting to that hill, going to the higher level. Today, stand with me, stand with me, stand with me. Point your hand upwards, so to speak, and declare by the authority of the word of God. You garrison of the Philistines, get out of my way. You cannot resist me. I will fulfill my destiny. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sit down. And it shall come to pass when thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets. That's what they want to keep you from. The company of prophets. Coming down from the high place with a psaltery and a tabret and a pipe and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy the atmosphere of praise and worship. He says, prophetic declarations are going to take place. They shall prophesy. And what is going to happen to you? He says, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon thee, and thou shalt prophesy with them, and shall be turned into another man. Why are you turned into another man? Because you are prophesying. Let me say that again. Why are you going to turn to another man? Because you are what? Prophesying. One of my sons said 2 days ago, this is the year of the what? Mouth. You're going to have to say what you want. Don't hang around people that are saying the wrong things. You open your mouth and prophesy. You want restoration? You're going to have to prophesy. He says, and he was turned into another man. He became a different person. He says, and let it be when these signs come unto thee. When you see these things happen, it says, do whatever you want to do. Because this is a place where you are authorized to do whatever it is you want, and God will stamp with approval. This is where God is taking us, saints. Hallelujah. Do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. Somebody say, God is with me. Now it seems like something goes wrong here. The guy is supposed to return home. But verse 8 makes a very interesting statement. Nothing went wrong. Everything is together. He says, and thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal. I want you to go before me to Gilgal. Gilgal is a place of the rolling wheel, or the place of circumcision. And behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry, wait there till I come to thee. You go and wait for how many days? How many days? What are we doing tomorrow? 7 days of tarrying. Of tarrying. We're following the instruction of the Lord. Amen? He says, because I'm going to come. He says, you wait there till I come to thee and show thee what thou shalt do. I thought, I have the power to do whatever it is I want to do now. I've received, I've prophesied, I've changed. Yes, yes, yes. But I'm going to take you to another level. Hallelujah. I'm going to come and I'm going to show you what you're going to do. And so the story continues. He gets home. People ask him what happened. He tells them, but doesn't tell them about the anointing. None of that. He kept that to himself. and gathers all the people. They come together. He tells the Israelites, you guys wanted a king. You wanted to be like everybody else. You rejected me. God has chosen a king, and we won't do it by lot. And they start picking, and they picked a group of Matri. Matri and Kish, and then Matri, and they're looking for Saul. There's no Saul. It looked like Samuel had blown it. So he goes and inquires of the Lord, where is the guy? The guy that I anointed, they're supposed to be waiting for me. Where is he? Oh, he says, he's hiding amongst this stuff. So they go out and they find him. Sure enough, he's hiding in the midst of this stuff. Ask the Lord, what's that all about? And it's quite interesting what the Lord said. For so many people, Jesus, who's meant to be the head, is hidden amongst his staff. Not because he's afraid, because that's where we have hidden him. He's hidden in all the materialism. And God wants you to go get Jesus out of that place. That is, you've hidden him amongst the stuff. Amongst the stuff. If you want him to truly be king, get him from amongst the stuff. Rise with me. In verse 9, the Bible tells us that Saul receives in your heart. For it says, and it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. All those signs came to pass what? That day. But I want you to see that all the signs coming to pass that day came about because God gave him another heart. So say with me, Father, I receive another heart. Your heart, your thoughts, your ideas, your perspective, your guidance, your directives, your heart, I receive so that there will be a manifestation of every prophetic declaration for my life, so that I can fulfill my divine purpose and destiny. I receive the heart that has the capacity to reproduce your perfect will in the mighty name of Jesus. I receive it. I walk with a new heart in high levels of authority, power, grace, majesty, for your glory and honor in the excellency of the name of Jesus Christ. I come to my right place that my Father and my God, you will be glorified. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God for every one of you. This is going to be an exciting week for you and I. Faith comes by hearing, I said to you yesterday. But hearing comes by the word of God. Jesus said over and over, let those that have ears hear. I declare by the authority of the word of God that the entrance of God's word will give you and I the capacity to hear God clearly. Like never before, you and I need the capacity to hear God. In the supernatural things of life, but also in the natural dealings of our daily living. This week, let hearing be granted. And when you hear, you receive faith. And when you have faith, you will move mountains. When you have faith, you have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And you will be able to accomplish great and mighty things. I pray that this week that you and I are about to step into will be the most extraordinary week of your life this year. Because you will know that you know that you know that you know what God said. And you will refuse to accept any lies of the enemy. Amen? And for everyone that is coming, and I pray and encourage that every one of you take time to come. Bring your notebook. Sit down here. And inquire of the Lord. Inquire of the Lord concerning your family. Inquire of the Lord concerning your health. Inquire of the Lord concerning your business. Inquire of the Lord concerning your finances. Inquire of the Lord concerning this church. So that every one of us are fully aligned to the will of God. Amen? Hallelujah. So, let us be ready. At this time, I'd like you to come, release that special offering of faith. When you come to the house of God, come with an offering. You know, don't come empty-handed. If you are coming, come with something. If you don't have money, you have your mouth to praise the Lord. Be the loudest, most involved person. If you don't have something financial to release, release something. Release a word, a prophetic declaration, but bring something to the Lord as a person of faith. And leave receiving something. Because you come into covenant with God by your giving. I thank God for every one of you that have been so faithful with your giving this year. May God bless you. May God establish you. May God surprise you in so many ways as waters of grace flow into your life and bring great resources unto you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Somebody said, I will never be broke. I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I am empowered to succeed in every realm. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you have your communion, let us share in communion together real quickly. And then I'm going to speak the word of blessing. This is the body of the Lord. Does everyone have one yet? Maybe I'm going too fast to me. Hallelujah. This is the body of the Lord. This body was broken for our restoration. Jesus took on my sickness, my diseases, took on my defeat, my sin and shame, took it all to himself and vanquished it forever and restored unto me my eternal freedom. Freedom from shame, freedom from confusion, freedom from limitations, freedom from fear, freedom from the power of darkness and sin. As you and I take of this body, remembering our Lord, may we come into the fullness of that same grace, that we may live life, a victorious life, as a testament of God's goodness. Take and eat. The body of the Lord was beaten so that I can receive my healing, renewed strength. We take of the blood that cleanses us from all sin, cleanses us from guilt and shame, causes us to come into fullness of redemptive graces. Hallelujah. I will wait for you. Could you please give them communion? Do you have communion? You have it? Okay, praise God. As we take of this cup, let the full impact of what the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, came to accomplish in obedience to the directives of the Father now brings sanctification, deliverance, peace, wholeness to every aspect of our lives, spirit, soul, and body. Our minds are healed. Our bodies are healed. Our families healed. Restoration in every area. And I thank God that as you take of this precious blood, that the God of heaven will smile over you, because the work, the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ is now manifest in your life, my life, our lives. In Jesus' name, take of this cup and drink. Praise the Lord. Stretch your hand towards me. Turn this one back on. Turn that one on.
Father, when the hands of Moses were lifted up, Israel won. Today I declare that every son and every daughter in this house win every battle Their families are strengthened. Their homes strengthened. Everything concerning them is strengthened because your presence is with them. I declare, God, that the smile of favor will be upon every son, that there'll be total restoration of anything and everything that was lost. But this day, may the grace of supernatural empowerment to go forward now propel them forward, everyone, every son, every daughter, moved forward and upward in the mighty name of Jesus. I declare, those that have had the Lord hidden behind the stuff will go and bring the Lord out of that place that they have hidden him and give Jesus the position of preeminence in their lives. That our exalted King and of kings and Lord of lords will reign sovereignly over every affair, causing all things to work well for our good, and all of God's people to get in agreement in Jesus' mighty name said yes and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God bless you so richly. We'll see you tomorrow morning for our service, and then tomorrow night for the special time of silence in the presence of the Lord. God bless you richly. Thank you for being here. You matter to the Lord. Blessings.